entertained? Are you not entertained?
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives. Welcome to the French Press Podcast. This is episode 84. I'm Ruben.
And I'm Leighton. And it is Thursday, December 11th, 2014.
Leighton, I've been doing some work on the website. Have you had a chance to browse over it?
What website are we referring to, Ruben?
I'm talking about the FrenchPressPodcast.com.
Oh!
Without the, just FrenchPressPodcast.com.
And that's our website.
It is.
What could people find there?
A lot of black and a lot of white.
That's,
if you know what I mean.
Those are some good defining colors.
Yeah, check it out. We really changed up our look. There are no gray areas.
Yeah.
It is black and white.
Is it actually black and white, Ruben? What happened? Did you break something?
No, it's intended.
It's intentional.
It's not finished.
I'm looking it up right now.
It's not finished. So you haven't even looked at it yet?
No, Ruben. I just already knew that it was a good website because we are the hosts of the website, so obviously it is good. Ruben, it's all black and white. But one thing I do like about it is that it's just podcasts. Right, like front and center.
Yeah.
I love that.
Tell me, what do you think of the little podcast bean?
I love the
it's a coffee bean.
A coffee bean uses an O.
Yeah, I was worried.
Of podcast.
It could look like something else. I should have asked you, what does it look like?
I would have said coffee bean.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what the other little graphics are to the right there? The three graphics under Indiana.
Cubes of sugar.
Yes.
And a jar of, you guys use cream. You guys use authentic creamy cream.
Yeah.
By the store-bought and French vanilla goodness.
No.
And then, obviously, I also recognize a French press pitcher.
I think I would just call it a French press.
A French press. I see that there's an authentic, little doodle of a French press.
The heading, I changed up a little bit.
Okay.
Now it just says, True Stories in Indiana.
Yeah.
And Conversations at the Coffee Shop.
Right.
Do you like the look of it? And I'm not saying it's not complete. I want to add a little bit more design here and there.
Right.
But just from what you're seeing,
I do like it.
It's simple, but to the point.
I feel like we just need a solid background yet.
That's not white?
That's not white. It's a standstill background. Nothing fancy.
An image or a solid color?
I feel like an image, but like an image pattern.
Okay. I could get behind that.
All right, you could get behind the website and tweak that.
Yeah,
excellent.
We've got some good stuff lined up for you today.
We do.
I think we teased it last week.
Yeah.
About I saw some items in your bathroom.
Yeah, you did.
I was here early, and I just was after being in the restroom, being in the bathroom.
You were here early, and I didn't have time to clean up.
I was looking around
the place,
and it's always there's always a lot of clutter.
Hide the evidence.
Always a lot of clutter, and so I'm never too surprised, except for this time.
This time, what did you see that surprised you?
Well, first I saw a blade. A knife. And it was looked like a hunting knife.
Mm-hmm.
The blade was probably, probably 5 inches.
Right.
So it was something, it wasn't a little whittling knife.
Well, you could use it to whittle.
You could
use it to whittle.
I would
a little.
Say its primary purpose would be more
to gut.
Deadly.
Dead, just like something nefarious.
Yeah.
All right.
And along with that, I also saw scissors.
Those are also very nefarious.
Now, and the scissors, they were right beside each other. And I think the scissors was open. So I wondered, both of these are sharp objects.
Right.
And I just wondered, I wonder if he didn't try to accomplish it with one and then needed the other.
They are unrelated.
Okay.
I assure you.
But I do want to add one more thing.
What?
I came back a few days later and they were still there.
Okay.
Then I came back tonight, and they were still there. So I have a feeling this is an ongoing situation.
Ruben.
So take me into the situation room, and let's diffuse this issue.
All right, we're in the room. We see a bomb of confusion, and we are going to diffuse it.
Okay.
All right, I'm gonna cut each wire one at a time.
You say they're unrelated. The knife.
Yes, they serve two different functions. All right.
Let's start with that.
Which function do you want to know first?
I want to know about the scissors because that's less interesting.
The scissors functions as, like, when I have a wild hair. Like, whether it's coming out of my hair or, like, my head of
hair. Out of your head.
Sorry. I gestured to my... Ruben knew what I meant. Yeah. Whether it's coming out of the hair that is atop my head or coming out of the hair that is coming out of my face. Anyway, so whenever there is a hair that is obnoxiously protruding and it's not...
So it's meant for... You're attacking one hair.
Yes. Yes.
Could you turn your head a little bit? Or not the other way. Okay.
What did you notice?
Well, I was wondering if you weren't attacking... The white patch,
Ruben,
on your head.
No, if anything, like I want that to be like that is a very prominent feature. Okay, like I want this to be shown to people. I want people to notice my wisdom showing through my gray patch of hair.
If it is true that gray hair, or in your case, white hair, is evidence of wisdom. Then
yes.
I would definitely say you have a good dose of it, but not a very broad range of it.
Right. I am wise very, in one area.
In one specific area.
Now,
I would like to dig deeper into that and find out what that area is.
You want to dig into my head.
Yeah.
You want to get inside my head, Ruben.
I'm not sure if this podcast is going to be
they can't
long,
handle it.
Long enough to handle
they
all this content.
Can't handle
so
all.
So maybe we'll come back to that later.
Yeah.
So for right now, just tell me.
Although I want to say one thing about that.
Okay.
Just one quick thing. While I was at Bible school, I pretty much said the exact same thing that I told you. It is my wisdom showing.
Mm-hmm.
This is my patch of hair. And my professor, Elijah, at Bible school, I tell him this. And then he responds with, well, some of us have more appropriate ways of showing our wisdom. so cut down. rejected. But whatever, he was a cool dude. He meant well.
So you're attacking a hair.
Yes.
Either on your face or your head.
Right. For trimming purposes.
How do you, like, what is a wild hair?
Oh, like, one that is not standing... In uniform
whoa. So,
with everyone else.
So you'll go and comb or prepare your hair.
No, not really. But if it's like, that's the thing. If there is
if one of them is standing, so if you have a bedhead, like I do right now.
Right.
Then you would just go, instead of just either making it wet and putting in some mousse or some kind of hair product and shaping it the way you want it to be.
Shaping it. Sculpting your hair.
You would just go and take a scissors and eliminate it.
Well, first and foremost, only one hair. Only one hair.
How is it so ever? How is it ever only one hair?
It just happens sometimes. Like, there's a wild hair. Just like, like, it decided that it's going to rebel. And then I answer its rebellion with its cutting it down to size.
Do you pluck it? So you don't pluck it out. You just cut it.
Oh, plucking is so painful, and it's so bad for
but
your
doesn't it,
follicles.
But doesn't it come back
what?
In the same
in a, with a vengeance,
disrespectful
oh.
tone?
No, it learns its lesson.
After you trim it down, it just kind of follows suit.
Now, bear in mind, it is mostly facial hair that I use this for. It is rare that I've ever had to.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one thing that pops in my mind.
What is popping in your mind?
Right? Instead of using a scissors, well, for one, okay, two different things are popping in my mind.
Oh,
how is your that one stray wild hair long enough to be noticeable if you keep it trimmed like it looks like you do? And number two, why don't you use a trimmers instead of a scissors?
You're that's good. good, valid questions. Number one, the reason that it looks well kept tonight was because in less than 24 hours, I will be starting a cookie bake-a-thon with my youth group, and I didn't want any
wild
stray wild hairs. Like, even if they don't fall, you know, if they're wild and long enough, while I'm bending over and smelling the cookies, one might want to reach out and just graze the top of a cookie, thus damaging the frosting or some other...
Contaminating it.
Yeah, contaminating it or gracing it with its presence. Anyways, that was the main reason. So I was like, okay, I should trim everything down on my little goatee just to make it safe for everyone involved in this whole cookie mm-hmm. bake-a-thon.
Okay.
So that's why it looks so trimmed up right now. Okay. Normally, it's a little bit longer and wilder.
Why don't you use a trimmer?
Why don't you use a trimmer? A trimmer is like, I don't know, like when you are gardening, Ruben, if you see one weed, do you take the lawnmower and just drive over all of the, like, the whole flower bed if you see it, just one weed in your landscaping? No. You either pull it out or you just cut it down to size. In my case, though, I don't enjoy plucking. It hurts.
Okay.
If my face were the ground, it hurts me, Ruben.
And facial hair is more like the vegetable.
The fruit?
The fruit of the labor.
Right.
So you don't want to pluck it out.
Right.
And secondly...
Just because it...
Using a lawnmower, you're cutting all... It's all grass. What you're saying, though, in your example, is that the wild hair is a weed and everything else is grass.
Well, okay, all right. Let's go with your fruit analogy. Just because a plant, a tree, bears one bad apple doesn't mean you should cut down the tree. It could have... it could bear a good fruit next season.
I'm not sure if that's true.
I don't know if it's true. I'm not a farmer at all, as you can see. But, you know, either way, it's like,
okay,
it's so painful to pluck it.
I agree. I wouldn't want to pluck it. I wouldn't pluck it either.
Right.
But I think it'd be easier just to trim it every week. And then the wild hair thing probably wouldn't be an issue.
You're right. But there is a sense of, like, letting the most of the hairs grow freely.
And okay, I've got one other question. The wild hair, do you cut him down to skin or just
no.
just back to line?
I cut him back in line.
Okay.
I make
okay.
him blend in with okay. the rest of his brothers.
All right. Well, that's all I've got for the scissors. But now on to the knife.
On to the knife. The knife was used for a very specific purpose. And the only reason that it's still open is because I like it open. I mean, it makes me feel like when I'm like I get out of the shower and I'm brushing my teeth and like I'm doing all the deodorant and all that stuff. It makes me feel dangerous just with it open, like right beside there, like
if I slip and fall, I could land on that knife, so I better watch out.
There's no way I could do that. Even if I would slip and fall, I'd fall on the floor.
You're reaching out the back of the counter. Yeah, you're reaching out to try to catch yourself. And in the process, you cut off your pinky.
That would be a good story. Yeah. And this side, we'd have more content on the podcast. So you should really look at it as a sacrifice I'm making for the listeners, Ruben.
Why? I got another question for you.
What?
So you just like to leave it open because it's been that way.
But I didn't use it once.
Well, okay, what did you use it for?
The packaging on toothbrushes or teethbrush? Toothbrushes.
Toothbrushes. It should be a teethbrush.
It's, yeah.
Because you never just brush one tooth. It's impossible.
Well, sometimes.
Unless
like,
you only have one
you
tooth.
You just like want to just like polish up like the one bicuspid just on the right on the side. It's just like yellowing a little bit faster than the rest.
So you cut it so back you just size.
Kinda, so finally brush it.
I don't think it's possible because you end up brushing the ones beside there too.
You're right. And then before you know it, you're going to have to like brush them all.
Yeah.
So yeah, just brush the whole thing. Anyways, I used the packaging on toothbrushes. It's like really, really like they keep those things like locked up in very thick plastic. And like the kind of plastic that when you like try to pry it, it like cuts into the sides of your hands.
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible, Ruben. And so I decided, why don't I just make good use of this knife that my father bought me in Germany? Yeah. I just let that soak in for a while. No, yeah, my dad, when him and my mother went over and took a group of Amish people over to Europe, that was the one keepsake that he brought back, souvenir that he bought for me. That was his gift.
Very good.
Yep, that was me coming to manhood.
So you keep that open and keep it there just for the danger factor.
Right.
So you don't know when someone's going to jump into your bathroom while you're taking a shower.
Right.
Why then do you leave your toothpaste container open as well?
That is because it's empty. It is. If you go try to squeeze it right now, it is empty, Ruben. I just haven't bothered to throw it away.
What is wrong with you?
Does it bother you? Would it drive you nuts?
It would drive me nuts.
It's a tiny little.
We were living.
It's a travel size.
If I would be using the same bathroom,
yeah,
I would go insane. The knife would be used, and it would be dangerous.
You can't tell me that you close the toothpaste every single time.
Every time.
Oh, there's so much time wasted just screwing on a cap. Ah.
Half a second.
And besides, if you let the toothpaste on the inside of where it is threaded, right at the spout, you just kind of give just enough pressure so that the toothpaste stays there, mm-hmm. and then you put it down, then it will dry. It will dry in there, and it's like a makeshift cap. So then when you go to squeeze it again the next day, then you just squeeze it and the cap of dried toothpaste will pop out and you can just kind of scrape that off and you're back to wet again. And
I'm pretty sure
it's like a Ziploc bag.
You're wasting time. How long does it take you to flick off the crusty cap?
None at all. Sometimes I leave it on there and just like, ugh. It's like saying, ugh, you shouldn't.
Yeah, it's like nothing else.
There is something to it. Like, I don't know if you should inject this cure into your bloodstream. It's been sitting out all day.
I'm lost.
But it's still a cure. It's like a germ. It's like a germ killer, Ruben.
No.
It's just raw germ killer. It doesn't matter. I don't have gingivitis, Ruben. It's good. I have good teeth.
Oh, I'm not concerned about your teeth.
Yeah, what are you concerned
your
about?
Your teeth are fine.
What are you concerned about?
It is disgusting. Yes, let's not forget that. But it's also a mess around your sink area.
If you think that's gross, that is not the most disgusting thing that I've done that is toothbrush related. There was one time while I was
at Bible school.
No. I was living in town, and I accidentally grabbed the wrong toothbrush.
Oh, nasty!
And I used Kyle's toothbrush in my mouth. The thing is though, that, I just kept right on brushing. Like after I realized, it,
is
like,
that
oh.
why you eventually?
No, I stopped.
Is that why you eventually had to move out?
Yeah, it's when two people use the same kind of toothbrush. Actually, it wasn't quite the same. It had similar coloring.
Well, it used the same toothbrush.
No, like
toothpaste.
No, I used his toothbrush.
His toothbrush. Oh, okay.
I used his toothbrush.
Oh man.
And when
we can stop recording if we need to.
When I stuck it into my mouth, Like, I was like, huh, that's this toothbrush. It's a different texture.
It's got a slightly different flavor.
It's got a different flavor. Tastes like something like Twinkies and coffee. I don't know. No, it didn't. It didn't have any weird flavor. It was just like it was a different kind of brush. The brush lengths were different.
Yeah,
and I just could tell that it was something foreign that I was sticking into my mouth.
Something like a wild hair.
Yeah, and so I threw it away.
Surprising.
Yeah. All right. And that wasn't painful.
That is, yeah. Well, okay, what happens then if you live with someone that's exactly like you? There's literally not enough space on your sink area. Counter space.
Yeah. Okay, if I would share a bathroom with someone, then I would be more considerate as far as where I put my stuff. Like, okay, at Bible school, the sink area was not an issue. That's coming from me. Like,
yeah, I would love to corroborate your story with your live-ins.
Yeah, your dormies. If you would ask them, I'm pretty sure that yeah, Leighton was fine. His bed was a bit cluttered, but generally speaking, I did not take up more space than anyone else. It was just the space that I was allocated, the space that was mine. Yeah, it was a little bit unkept. But, I mean, it was
It's not livable. Something to be proud of.
Well, I'm just saying it didn't stink. There was nothing outrageous about it. All right?
Fine.
Okay.
Did you hear about the guy who said he was going to get eaten by a snake anaconda?
And then he chickened out.
And then he bailed.
Bill
anyway,
will.
So that's that story.
Okay.
Moving on.
I saw it.
I watched the video.
I watched the video that was posted on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, that's pretty nuts. I couldn't figure out why they wouldn't make his suit so it would be a suit that would come out past his arms. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like a shell designed specifically to come out like over his shoulders and down his arms as well. Just one big shell. Like, why not?
Yeah. They probably didn't realize how strong the snake was.
Well, because Ruben, the snake already, like, the shell did come down past his shoulders. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, it did?
I'm pretty sure. And so, if the snake was able to fit its jaw around the shoulder part, that's the widest part. If it can fit that, then it can definitely fit the rest of the arms as well. So why not make the suit that big? I don't know. It was a poorly designed suit.
People are kind of outraged for a couple of different reasons.
Yes.
But one question I have is, after he was swallowed...
He wasn't.
After he was going to be swallowed...
Okay.
Was he going to be passed on through, or were they going to cut the snake open?
They said that they had a way of getting him out without killing the snake. And I don't know how they were going to do that. I have no idea. I would think that just having him inside of the snake would be enough to kill the snake.
Yeah. But I've heard that it takes snakes, like they might only eat something that large like once a month.
Once a month? Yeah. Oh, and then like they're good for the month or what?
Okay. It takes a while to digest.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they had, like, a surgeon there that was going to, like, yeah, I'm going to cut him open real quick. We'll get basically do a C-section with a snake and a human. What?
That's weird. It's like...
A snake births a man. Who knew?
Yeah.
But, yeah, he chickened out. And you said they're outraged for several different reasons. What are the reasons that people are outraged?
Pounds. Some were outraged because he chickened out.
Okay.
And I'm sure some were outraged because it seems like it's animal cruelty.
Yeah.
And I didn't even see any of that, but I'm just assuming there's people out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have any more about that.
Okay, I don't either. There was something that happened, Ruben.
Yeah.
Something happened at work.
Today?
Yes. No, not today.
Okay.
It was actually, like, before Thanksgiving. It's just we didn't have enough time. We had so much content on the Thanksgiving episode. or the episode that we did after Thanksgiving that we just didn't get to it. There was something that happened. I was working, Ruben, and I'm going to have to, this is going to get really technical. Like, this is going to get, like, real in depth mm-hmm. with with what I do at work and how my machine works, okay? But I want you to envision a table.
I'm closing my eyes.
All right, close your eyes. Imagine a CNC table. and then imagine with beside the table.
Mm-hmm. How big is the table?
The table is...
like 10 by 20.
Is I don't even know how big the table is. It's like 30 by 5. 30 feet.
Okay.
Feet by 5 feet.
Okay.
Okay. Then beside the table is a small, like, tiny little table. It's basically just a, like, a frame.
Okay.
It's just a frame. Now, what we do with that frame is we set things on there off of the table. That way, we can cut things that are a lot bigger, taller, wider, faster, stronger. No, we cut things that we wouldn't be able to just lay on the table because the plasma arm would just hit it. Because, you know, the plasma is just riding on this track. And you only have, like, 4 inches of clearance.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a little red jig table that we put right beside it. And then the arm can just go all the way out past the edge of the table and just cut stuff beside it.
Okay.
This was what I was doing, Ruben.
Okay.
I was doing, like three
now,
little holes.
This is all computerized, right?
Oh, no, it's in reality, Ruben.
I mean...
I'm actually doing this.
No, you're not.
No, the computer is... Yes, I'm telling the computer...
It's a print.
Yes.
Pretty much.
I take the drawing, and then I import it into a program, and then the computer just knows how to cut the drawing.
Okay.
Sure. Yes.
I didn't mean to make you sound like you're not doing anything.
Yeah, thanks, Ruben. I have a white patch of hair, and this is the area that this patch comes from.
Okay.
Anyway, you're inside my mind. Welcome. Okay. Anyways, so I'm cutting, like, this little dinky tube, and there's a whole bunch of them. It's a whole bunch of these little tubes,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just doing one at a time, cutting holes, okay? So, like, I put one onto the table, tell the machine to cut, then I take it off, put a new one on, tell it to cut. All this is going on, all right? And see, when you're doing a tube,
mm-hmm.
it... If you imagine it, it's cutting. The torch comes down on top of the tube.
Yeah.
It cuts. And it blows through the side that it's cutting. And then all of the leftover, call that slag, all of the stuff that it's cutting out, that's blowing melted metal down, collects on the bottom of the tube.
Okay.
And that's unacceptable.
Which is the inside
right.
of the tube.
It's like, yes. Is on the inside of the tube, and that's unacceptable. So what we need is something there to catch all of that while it's being cut.
Okay.
And then that something is just a little piece of whatever, and I just take it out after it's done cutting, get the new tube that's going to be cut, and I insert again. I insert that piece that'll catch.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, if you use metal... as your piece, like a little piece of metal plate inside of the tube, like it'll build up slag on there, and then you'll have to get another piece of plate or something to stick in there. I thought that, hey, maybe instead of using metal, I'll just use this here block of wood. And it was perfect. Wood is soft, and it actually absorbs the metal because it's so hot.
Okay. So it, like, almost burns itself into the wood.
Yeah, it embeds itself. Okay. Like, you'll actually, like, see circles being like because of the holes.
Do you have any pictures?
I don't.
Okay.
But anyways, I'm not finished.
Okay, okay.
It gets better.
Okay.
If you're like already enthralled, it gets so much better. So, obviously, now, normally when you're cutting on the table, there are doors that swing open like underneath, way, way down inside of the table. Doors swing open and there's a vacuum that sucks while the machine is cutting. So that as the machine is cutting, the fumes and all the smoke won't just rise up. It gets sucked down into these doors. But because we're not cutting on the table specifically, we're cutting beside the table, mm-hmm. well, the fumes could just go anywhere.
Okay. I do have one question. Like the table that is, the second table frame.
Right.
So the computer knows, the computer doesn't know the dimension of the table. Is that right?
It does know.
And it, why would it cut off to the outside of
the table? Because it also, it knows, it the program was designed to like, hey, for special cases, we also have an outside bed.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, it just, yes, they thought of everything.
Okay.
So, now, onto this dilemma of
The fumes
just going everywhere and...
Well, what like what's so bad about the fumes?
The fumes isn't bad, but it actually is like it's actually smoke, like in a very thick raw sense of the word. Smoke is, I think, by definition, the unburnt particles escaping from flame.
Okay.
So, and because there's not really any...
That white patch is kind of shining a little bit brighter.
It's like kind of glow. It's like pulsing white and gray.
Yeah.
And it's like shimmering in the LED light. Yeah. Anyways. So, we have this fume stuff, whatever. And you just don't want to be exposed to this for a long time. Because you'll be like... Have like black boogers for ages.
Okay. It's worse than secondhand smoke.
I don't know if I... Well, if it's, like, really thick secondhand smoke, yeah. Like, if you're, like, trapped in, like, a room just full of secondhand smokers.
If it's only worse than the very worst example of secondhand smoke, then it's worse than secondhand smoke.
Yeah,
it's worse than firsthand smoke, too.
Well, I don't know how bad secondhand smoke is, because I haven't been exposed to it as long as I have been exposed to this stuff. This firsthand
plasma
cutter, smoke.
Plasma smoke.
Ah. Yeah. Anyways, so...
Have you ever been...
The solution to this.
Well...
There is a solution.
I was going to ask you.
What?
Have you ever been in an area or a place that reminded you... That you were reminded of? Like maybe at a tractor pull? Like when, you know, there's a lot of smoke that comes out of the tractors at tractor pulls?
Yeah.
Was it at all like... Did that kind of... kind of the feel of the air?
Yeah.
Okay. Eyes burning?
Think about... Remember when we used to go down to Kentucky with our four-wheelers?
Yeah.
And they have that Kentucky red dirt.
Yes.
That's exactly what it looks like. It's also like has like a red
tinge. The smoke looks like dirt.
Yeah. It's like thick. It's dust. It is heavy.
So when we would go with the four-wheelers and make a lot of dust.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it felt.
That's how it felt, Ruben.
Okay.
All right. Now, the solution to this. There is a... So, like I mentioned, there's doors that open, and there's a giant vacuum.
Yeah.
This vacuum goes to a, I want to say a 15-inch pipe, all right? And it comes out at the front of the table,
mm-hmm.
all right? This 15-inch pipe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they made an attachment that looks like a little, I don't know, it's a little attachment onto the side of this... This
like a sweeper hose.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You're welcome.
Yes. Ruben, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. And you they have like a little door that you either like open or close if you want that sweeper hose to be sucking.
Okay.
So, you got the right idea. Perfect. Exactly. So, I take this sweeper hose and I zip tie it to the little red jig table. I didn't mention that. Yeah, it is red, by the way. Mm-hmm. This little jig table on the side where I'm cutting these tubes, and I have this block of wood, and it's sucking all of the fumes along with fumes, it is also sucking in sparks. And normally, that's okay.
Because I've seen it cut. Whenever it cuts, there's always like lots of sparks.
Lots of sparks. And sparks go in there all the time. But when you have something that is able to withstand the traveling of going through the vacuum and still remain hot, mm-hmm. like, let's say, an ember from a block of wood, then there is a chance that an ember could travel from the block of wood through the vacuum, still remaining hot, and land on, like, a filter where, like, there's, like, 12 of them, and, like, maybe, like, the whole back part of the shop was full of smoke. And so...
Where does the hose or the vacuum go to?
Okay. It goes to a little room, like off to the side. Okay, it goes through a wall.
Of the table.
It goes through the wall.
Okay.
Yeah. And we have, like, a small, like, little lean-to, almost.
Okay.
Room. And that's where, like, all the gases are kept. Like, the nitrogen and the oxygen.
So, okay.
The air compressor's back there, too. And in there is a giant housing. It's a housing for all these filters. And all of the air that is vacuumed, there's these giant circular filters.
Okay.
Okay? And think of them as, like, really, really massive. Like, you ever seen those water softeners? Yeah. The water filters that, like, collects all the rust. It's got, like, the ribs.
Yeah.
Like the
metal ribs.
Yeah. It's like a giant one of those. These things are, like, 12 inches in diameter. Actually, they're oval-shaped, but anyways, that's beside the point. We have 12 of those.
Okay.
Jeff, beloved Jeff, who I work with, he was actually on the computer.
Let's not miss anything here, though.
What?
Okay, so there's smoke is starting to fill up. Where are we at in time? Timeline.
Well, I skipped forward. Let's go back to before we realized that there was a problem.
Okay.
So I'm doing my thing. Jeff's actually on the computer. He's actually helping me out. He's the guy that's telling the computer that it's time to cut. I'm the guy that's doing the manual labor of taking the tube off, putting a new tube on, putting the block of wood in, done. We're both being productive. Meanwhile, we're also talking. And then suddenly we realize in our talking that, like, even with this vacuum that's catching all the fumes, there is still some sort of haze going on in the front shop. How can this be? So we go over into the little tiny lean-to room.
Okay.
Where all the gases are kept. And it is full of smoke. It is full of smoke. And we're like, oh, man. And we actually, like, we're like, whoa, yeah. So we turn off the plasma table, stop cutting and everything. And we're like, oh, yeah, we stopped that. And then we looked at this large metal housing where all the cylinders,
filter?
All the filters are kept. And we see that there's actually, like, smoke, like vapor coming off, like steam coming off of the side of this metal housing.
Okay.
And we're like, oh, I bet it's really hot in there. So we're like, oh, what if it might be on fire? So, fire! And so then I go running and I quickly, we get a hose, we have a little spigot and we connect the hose and I turn it on. It's like, Jeff, you're good to go. And he's like, beedoo, beedoo, beedoo. And
I don't think that's the foreign police.
And then someone's like,
meow. There we go.
I wish we had those sound effects.
How much drama was there? Like, how many people were flying around?
Three.
Okay.
It's me and Jeff and PH, but he's, like, normally flying around anyway. Like, just like, woo! Anyways, so he's pretty scared. Jeff is doing something about it, and I'm doing something about it. So, we go over to the other room. And so there are approximately, no, not approximately, there are exactly 12 doors. 12 doors on this housing. And you open up these doors, and then there you can pull the filters out.
Okay.
Behind each door, there are two filters. Okay.
So 24 filters.
Yes. No, 12 filters total.
Okay.
Yeah, 12 filters total. Okay. So there's three doors, or okay. six, there's six doors. Okay. I apologize. Okay. Okay. It is getting late.
Yeah.
Anyways, so like we're like going through and like touching each handle to see which one is probably the one on fire. So Jeff gets stationed. He has the hose and the little, he has a little garden nozzle that he can just, you know, spray. And like I get ready, like we figure out, okay, like oh yeah, this is the one. This is the mother load. This is,
and is
this,
it the first one? Or
this is where it's all going down.
Okay,
okay, Ruben. So I get ready, and I got gloves on, you know, because I don't want to burn my hand. Mm. And so like I open up the door, and flames shooting out. It didn't quit shooting out, but there were flames. I saw flames. I saw flames, Ruben. And Jeff's like. And he sprays water everywhere, like, and there's like smoked steam. And I'm just in the back, just crying, like, oh, it was such a good filter. Oh, check out his brothers. And we look, and there was, there were four other filters. We lost them too.
Okay, so five total.
There were four filters total that we had to replace.
Okay.
But there was also like a plastic, almost like a giant plastic cup holder. And like they are used to attach the filter to like the vac, like the where the air is coming in.
Okay.
And they're completely made of plastic, and three of them were like completely melted, like just like completely deformed from all the heat. There was quite a bit of smoke. The plasma was down for a couple days.
A couple days?
A day or two. I don't know. Actually, well, what we did was, me and Jeff actually ended up staying late that night then, because there was still a ton of work that we had to get done. And so we actually ended up wearing masks. And like just cutting without any sort
any
of
vacuum
to get the air out. And there was smoke literally from the front shop all the way to the back shop. Like, and that is at least 200.
All the way to the back.
Like the new addition.
The new back. Oh, that's more than 200 feet, dude.
It's more than 200 feet. It's 300 feet.
It's pretty close to the, yeah.
Yeah, and there was like, now obviously now smoke rises, so it was mostly on the ceiling.
Yeah.
But in the front shop, it was completely filled. Like,
hold
it. It was so bad. Ugh.
What was,
This was the Tuesday before Thanksgiving.
Oh, great. Wait.
Our turkey was cooked.
How did you not share this before?
You didn't
share it once at Thanksgiving?
I
think of all the grandchildren.
It did come up. One of the aunts said, Layton, I heard you almost burned down the shop. What happened? And I said, I will tell you, but I want everyone to be listening. That way I don't have to tell the same story 500 times.
It's because you value your time.
I do.
Did you ever tell it? Because I never heard
it. I didn't, actually. Okay. So this is exclusive. Yeah.
How did... Was there kickback?
No, I was given the benefit of the doubt.
Was Jeff being there, did that help the blame, kind of shoulder the blame?
It helped give the validity of an honest mistake.
Okay.
Because he didn't think about it either. Like, at all. And you see sparks flying
sparks go down
into
there
all the time, but Yeah, all of them dissipate and like are cooled by the time they actually get to the filtering.
But how often do you have to? I mean, that must add up. Like, don't you at some point have to just clean out all the chunks of steel that are
rarely actually, because they have a really cool system. It's like a pulse system, and it actually periodically blows the opposite way of the vacuum, and so it actually knocks a whole bunch of because like eventually if it was just one constant stream of air just one way, it would like find like the places that are most traveled, and those are the places that get clogged.
Yeah,
and it would just get clogged really fast. So there's like a little puff of air that goes through each set of filters. Like we have six doors, so there's six pulsers that blow the opposite way.
Hold it. Okay.
And that helps a ton as far as keeping the filters themselves clean.
I don't have a story that matches that. But I guess I could say I was pretty wore out after today.
I saw how exhausted you were when you came in.
I got here early and I actually took a nap because partly because you weren't ready yet.
Yeah.
And I was exhausted. Yeah, I had some outside work to do today.
Outside? Ruben, aren't you a computer technician?
Well, that's what I thought.
What? Computer is outside.
I was upgrading equipment to connect Paul's welding to one of the head honchos to his home so he can stay connected.
Right.
And also get free internet.
Ruben, while you're there, could you also like just be like put like another secondary antenna and point it towards my house?
I could. But it wouldn't reach that
far. Okay, well, it was worth a shot.
But anyway, so yeah, I'm putting up like a wireless radio so that we're upgrading the wireless equipment.
Oh, you're putting it up. You're the one putting it up.
That was the plan.
That was the
plan. And I was telling you how exhausted I was. Well, I was exhausted, and I was just standing at the bottom watching my brother Theodore.
The adrenaline.
Yeah.
Of watching your brother just sway back and forth.
You saw him too.
Yeah.
I asked him if he'd want to do it. He's getting paid too, so don't feel bad for him.
Okay, good. Ugh.
But we didn't even get it finished because like the old equipment is like an old cable. It's not a Cat 5 cable.
Ugh. If you're not using Cat 5, what are you doing, man?
It's like an old coax cable.
Ugh, gross.
But basically, this tower.
This is a tower.
Is it 70 feet tall?
Yeah, that's a good guess.
And he needs to get up to about where he's at, 60 feet.
Right.
And the base of it is probably, it's square shaped.
Right.
And it's probably about, 3 feet in diameter.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit
less.
From
corner to corner, three
feet. From corner to corner. As you get up, it gets smaller. And at the point where Theodore needs to install this new equipment, it is probably about 8 inches in diameter.
Yeah, it's very
so
skinny.
He's hugging it like it's the top of a Christmas tree, trying to put on the star at close to the top. It's not the top, but it's close to the top.
And then you realize that you sent him up with the wrong star. Is that what you're telling me, Ruben?
Well, even if...
And it took him like 15 minutes to get up there.
No, here's the thing. Even if he would have... Even if the right star would have been with him,
yeah,
it wouldn't have worked anyway because he dropped one of the bolts or one of the nuts, which we did have a rope. We could have sent it back up, but it was getting so cold and windy that we decided we're putting it off until this weekend. And when he came down...
What's going to be different about this weekend, Ruben?
Well, a couple things. One thing, when he got down, I asked him, would you be interested in doing it again? He said, I won't do it for $1 million. And I think he was serious. I think for $1 million, he probably would... $1 million and $1, he'd probably do it.
But I would do it.
Anything up to that.
$500,000. Maybe.
I said I was going to do it.
Right.
But once I got the harness put on... Yeah, there's a harness, by the way.
Once
I got the harness put on and just started up, like, not much at all, but started up...
Started?
I was like,
no.
There's no way. I'm not doing this.
This is not happening.
No.
It's like, you're devoted to your job, but you work to live, not... Live to work.
Yeah.
Or in this case, almost die to work. Wow.
And it is so cold up there, too. And today was a nice day.
I guess nice for the last couple of days. For the for the weather that it has been.
Yeah. So yeah. That's all. Theodore, he did it. Yeah, he made it up fine.
And he made it down fine.
And he loosened. He did accomplish things.
Okay.
Because
he did accomplish things.
He loosened the old radio.
Good. And threw it down.
No.
Chucked it.
No.
Ah, shoot. That would have been cool to see. But yeah.
Would you do it, Layton?
Are you actually asking me?
No, I'm not actually asking you.
Then yeah.
No, but I'm being serious though.
Oh.
Well, yeah, fine. Would you do it for $100? Would you climb up
there? I would be highly tempted to.
Well, we might take you up on that.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
Well, and here's the other thing. It's not like you're standing on the ground.
Right.
You need to attach this bracket. You need to feed in the Ethernet cable into the back of the dish to plug into the actual transmitter. So it's tough enough to do standing on the ground. Mm-hmm. But then when you're standing up there wrapped around this 8-inch, tower.
I want you to know, Ruben, as you're talking, just as you're talking, my palms are getting sweaty.
Is that like sweaty like, I want to do this?
No, this is like sweaty like I somehow got shanghaied into coming to Six Flags and all my friends are telling me that I need to go on this ride called The Rapture and I'm like not going to do it. I'm going to go get a cup of Dippin' Dots instead. Kind of sweaty palms.
That's right. You hate heights and rides.
Yeah.
So this is not the job for you.
No, it's not, Ruben.
But for $100 you might do it.
I would be tempted to. Which means no.
Temptations.
For $200, yeah. Yeah.
You just wanted to...
Yeah. For $200. All right, well, for $200, I might take you up on that. Well, $300.
Anyway, I think it's time we wrap
this. I would
do
it for $200. Anyways, yeah, we are getting on. We're getting close to an hour here, man.
All right, that's way too long.
Oh, that's way too much content for one episode.
You know, this podcast, in case you didn't realize, is free. But if you want to help us cover some of our expenses.
Like climbing towers. You guys have no idea what we do for you guys.
You can go over to the website, FrenchPressPodcast.com, and click on the Amazon link.
Yeah.
Because if you – and use that link. If you're going to shop on Amazon, then definitely use our Amazon link, and then we'll get a little kickback.
Yeah. And if you don't – come to your house
and we'll kick you
and almost burn your house down. You don't believe me? You don't believe that I can?
All right, guys, take care. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.